Let's do this.
There's three things that you need in order to go viral. Social media used to be what I'm doing, and now social media is what can I do for you? People say no 7 times before they say yes. The same thing's gonna be with your content.
On point. Hello and welcome back to another episode of On Point. I'm your host, Taylor Burke, and today we have social media guru, creator coach, and the self-proclaimed side hustle king, Travis Brown. Hi, Travis.
Hey, how's it going? Good, so good to see you today.
It is so good to see you. So for the listeners who don't know, I went to a conference and you spoke all about social media and reels and Instagram, and it was so fascinating. I personally learned so much that I was like, I need to have him on this podcast. So I'm so glad that you're joining us here today.
Yeah, I'm honored, and thanks for coming to see me speak. I had a great time at Podcast Movement, and I can't wait to share everything I know with all the entrepreneurs and business people listening right now.
So Travis, to go ahead and start, you escaped the 9-to-5 and you became a 6-figure creator on social media. And now you dedicate yourself to helping others go from 0 to 1 million views organically, above all that. So they don't even have to spend a dime on doing that.
Yeah.
So let's start from the beginning. Tell us a little bit about that and your business, Social Boom.
Yeah. So I used to work, I've been in sales my whole life, right? So when I was a kid, I sold my entire neighborhood that I was going to cut their grass so I could buy a car. And then I was in a band where I would sell myself on stage and sell my CDs. And then I got a big boy job and I went to an office and selling. And, you know, throughout that whole period, I always had this like thing in the back of my head where I wanted to build my own thing. And, you know, unfortunately, started a lot of business that I called side hustles. And I think I did that in a way so I could not have to really go for it. And then as I got older and I had kids, you know, we have these daymares and we have our imaginations. And I really started to think about legacy. And I started to think about how hard I was working for other people. And if I just apply that to myself, maybe I could just do the things that I really wanted to do and show that my children and show my family that, you know, the world is this amazing place right now with all the technology we have, that they could do the same thing, that they didn't necessarily have to go down the beaten path. And so, you know, I feel like my job is to inspire people, whether they want to leave their job or not, that they probably have some value or something that they really care about that they can organically explode into, you know, the zeitgeist, so to speak. So what I've been doing in the last, for the last year is helping coaches, consultants, entrepreneurs, small businesses utilize social media to, you know, make an impact, to sell more products, to share their vision and their message. And, you know, I used to think that, you know, being an influencer was just reserved for like celebrities and, you know, the Kim Kardashians and beautiful people, right? And, you know, I'm not a smart person. I don't have, you know, I have a degree, but I had a really low grade point average. And, you know, I'm not necessarily the most handsome or smart dude in the world, but I figured out that there is a huge opportunity for all of us right now. And that is social media. People literally wake up in the morning and the first thing they do is look at social media. Yeah. They don't go to your business's website, right? So we need to be where the eyeballs are. You know, what I've been doing at Social Boom is we coach people, and we actually have a program that goes from 0 to 1 million views in 90 days by having us go through the method that I've used in order to do that on my own account and other people that I've coached. And I've helped lots of people actually turn their side thing into a full thing, which is crazy exciting.
That's so amazing. So how did you become so knowledgeable on social media? Because you said that you were in sales and you got a degree. I mean, who did you learn from, or how did you learn about social media?
Yeah, so most of my education with social media just started off by just kind of like trying things out. I have an analogy that I use is, you know, I met this guy who works at CERN, which is a giant scientific facility near where I live. And when he introduced himself to me, I said, oh, what do you do for a living? He's like, oh, I'm a scientist. And he was telling me that for the last 7 years, he'd been trying to develop one molecule. So every day going into work and testing things, and it doesn't work and it doesn't work and it doesn't work to get this result. And I said, you know, I've never met a failed scientist. And so I sort of, I took that on to myself and I said, from here on out, I'm a scientist. All I have to do is test things, find the variable that I need to change to get the result. And I think that is the biggest lesson I've learned. Like, you could follow all these gurus that tell you, you got to use trending music or hashtags or all these tricks. But the foundational elements of what social social media really is right now is mostly short form video content. And it's designed to give people a steady stream, right, of content to release dopamine, make them feel good, and either educate or entertain them. Okay. And so with that new model, we have a new consumption habit, which is people kind of flipping the TV stations until they find something that catches their attention enough to stop, right? And so through my own testing on my own account, I've learned that there's three things that you need in order to go viral, to get millions of views and explode your account. And the first thing is simply research, okay? And so I started to research. I started to research accounts and see, why is this account so huge? What are they doing? What's the first thing they say in the video? What's on the cover of the, what's the first thing I see in the video? And I realized that that portion, which we call the hook, and the hook is in everything. It's in the front of your book. It's in the front of your song. That was the most important to stop the thumb from scrolling, from stopping the zipping zippers and actually capturing their attention. Okay. So I spent a great deal of time researching what was already working. And I found that when I just came to the table and made something up, as opposed to doing some research and talking about a topic or using a hook that people were already, you know, intrigued with, it was like having two different lottery tickets. One lottery ticket I could buy had five of the seven numbers filled in, or the other one I had to guess all seven to win $1 million. And so I figured out that, like, by doing that quick research, that I would only post content that I knew would work. And I think most people, most businesses, most creators, when they go to create content, most of them are guessing. They're like, will this work? I have no idea what I'm doing. I'm just going to put something out there to put something out. So I stopped guessing and started making informed decisions. Just like all the business owners here, you wouldn't just give somebody $20,000 to run an ad. You'd want to see what that ad said, and you'd want to see where that ad went. I think social media is prospecting just like advertising, and you'd want to have a pretty rock solid plan for what people see. And so that was the first thing that really changed the game for me, was that research element.
Where do they start the research? Are they starting the research like on actual social media platforms?
Yeah. So the fastest thing that you can do is go to YouTube or TikTok and type in your keyword, right? So let's say you are in landscaping, right? So you type in landscaping, and what it's going to do is it's going to allow you to filter the results. Okay. So YouTube and TikTok both do this, where you could say, I only want to see the videos with the most likes in the last 3 months. And then the results they give you are all the best videos with the most views. Okay. So from that point, all you have to do is start to look at the content and go, okay, they're saying this in the beginning of the video and maybe what they're doing in the format. And I'm not talking about stealing. We don't copy other people. That's imitation. What we do is we emulate until we find our own thing. So by seeing somebody in a landscaping business go, here's the three, you know, the hook could be this one tool changed how I cut my grass, right? That could be a hook. And I'm just making this up off the top of my head, but there's a little FOMO in there. What's the tool? Do I have the tool? Do I need to buy the tool, right? What's it going to do? Then I show you this different, you know, I don't know anything about landscaping, bad example to pick, but I find this edging tool, right? That makes me not have to do the weed whacker anymore. It makes me not have to do one of the steps, and it makes my lawn look better than all of my neighbors, right? So, you know, you could see where I catch their attention with that FOMO, and then I show them something that they can go apply instantaneously, like instantaneously. They could go buy this thing and cut their grass and have the best looking yard in the whole place. So it's a matter of looking at the content that shows up that's viral already and then saying, okay, here's the elements. And now I'm going to only apply that to my content. I'm not going to guess. I'm not going to make up a new hook. I'm going to take that and see what it does. Okay. And so if you go to YouTube, the only thing that gets people to click on a YouTube video, Taylor, is the cover image, right? Mm. That's the only thing that gets people to click. So if you look at cover images and go, or just your own consumption, what made you click on that video? There's something about it that made you say, I need to see what's in this video. And that's the key to capturing attention. That's the first step in all of this, is what do all businesses want? Attention. We want more prospects. We want more leads. We want more people to see our business. We need to capture attention. So a quick, you know, hyper fast research is just going to YouTube or TikTok, type in your keyword, see what all the best content is, and see what you can emulate from those creators on your own account.
We're looking through these videos and sometimes we click on it. I know they always say don't judge a book by its cover, but I mean, we're human, right? So what would you say to these people listening about their cover image? Do we need to have a person on the cover? What if they didn't want a person in it? What if it's just a video of grass, right?
Yeah.
Like they're a landscaper. How do they make that catchy?
So the first thing I'll say is biologically, we're all programmed to look for faces. The moment you're born, you look for mom's face. When you look at the moon, you see a face. When you look at a tree long enough, you see a face. So people do want to see faces. And if you don't want to have your face on there, I totally understand. But by people really, if you're a business owner, you might have a logo and a website. That's not what people are buying. They're buying you. Right? They're buying your knowledge, your skill set, you fulfilling that product. So the more you can put yourself out there, the more connected your audience is going to feel with you. The more they're going to trust giving you, signing that PO or that invoice to give you the money because they know who they're giving it to, right? So I love to just, you know, all of my videos, I'm talking to the camera. I want you to feel like you're the only person I'm talking to. So I make all of my content like, hey, it's you and me, and we're doing this thing together. And I'm like your personal liaison of this information. And so that makes people feel like I'm talking to them. And I actually get comments like, I felt like you were talking right to me. Right? But I'm doing that at scale, which is amazing. Instead of saying like, hey, everybody, I'm just saying you need help and I'm here to help you. And then it's a different dynamic. Now, if you don't want to show your face, totally understand. What you can do with that content is you could do what's called third-party view, right? Where you're filming things and showing things. And one of the things I've seen that does it the most is using your finger to point at things. People for some reason love this. So you could point things out. You could hold up your camera and point things out. But you want to make sure in the beginning of that video or on that cover that the words that you use are very, you know, not only concise, but are going to capture attention. So some of the hooks are FOMO hooks, which like make someone feel like there's information they need to know. Some hooks are more about relatability, like cutting my grass, be like, you know, and you could attach some type of feeling, that relatability of like, I don't really feel like cutting my grass today. I wish I had a company that could come and do it for me, right? You can use feeling to not only capture attention, but to set the tone for what your audience sees when they watch your content. And so we're entering into a period where the big opportunity for everybody is you have the opportunity to have your own channel. And I look at my channel as like a primetime TV station, all right? And in that TV station, the only thing that goes in is the content that I promised. So an example of this is, say on a Sunday, I want to go to Discovery Channel and I want to watch something about like the pyramid. So I turn on the Discovery Channel and a baseball game's on. First, I'm going to go, oh, I must be on the wrong channel. Second, when I find out that they are playing a baseball game, I'm going to be really mad at Discovery Channel because that's not what they promised me, right? Mm-hmm. So if you think about this opportunity, you have this opportunity to go all in, talk about your business, give value, some other content ideas could even just be frequently asked questions. What are the questions that people ask about your product or service the most? You can answer those questions through your content. And then when your prospects ask you about it, you could send them a link to the content and you're answering their question in real time on your social media. So there's a lot of ways that you can use social media to your advantage, especially as a business, to tell people that you have an outcome that you can help them with. And that outcome being, I'm going to solve a problem for you. You know, I'm going to do something that's going to enhance your life. And by showing yourself or showing them with your finger, you know, you're going to show them that you're the person to do business with.
If people are posting different content every day that has nothing to do with their business, I mean, people are going to be confused and it's going to be harder for people to come back.
Exactly. So what we're doing with social media is just what you're doing with this podcast, right? You're basically telling people, hey, if you spend time with me, I'm going to give you a bunch of value. That's why people subscribe to this podcast. And that's why you should go write a review for this podcast right now. 5 stars. Podcast reviews are amazing to keep podcast hosts happy. So make sure you give a review.
Wow.
Right. But, you know, it's like that chaotic friend that shows up at your front door. You never know what you're going to get. They could be drunk. They could be crying. They could be happy. They could want to stay in. They could want to go out. When that person shows up at your door, you immediately have anxiety, right? And it's chaos. So the easiest way, and I want to take the word niche out of this whole thing, because I think niche is a little overused. Your niche or however you say it, is really just your current product. Okay. If you think about it like that. So let's say, give me an example of a business and we'll work this out.
Let's do a barbershop.
Barbershop. Perfect, right? So a barbershop, the outcome that you provide is you make people look their best. You make them look fresh. You give them self-esteem, right? You're making people present themselves in a way that they could be very proud of, right? And everyone has hair except for me. but, you know, so there's a huge broad audience, right? So in theory, a barbershop is really not a niche, but your niche is making people have great self-esteem by the way they look, right? So if you flip that, you don't have to say, well, you know, I talk to people who need haircuts. No, you talk to people that want to look their best, right? And so the content that you provide is, you know, styles, trends, you know, how to get the best deal, where to go, you know, things that your barber should and shouldn't be doing, right? You can give all this information so that when they need to go get a haircut, they're going to go, well, this barbershop just gave me all this information. I should probably just go there, right? Or find someone like that. That's the concept. It's not about, if you're in fitness, which is one of the biggest industries in the world, there's probably a subset of that that you're in, right? You're anti-cardio or you're for keto or powerlifting, right? But the outcome is the same. People want to look and feel really good. So if you take that, the niche word, and just say, my niche is my current product, whatever you're selling, whatever outcome you have, then all your content just needs to honor that promise. If I'm promising you the best lawn care in Georgia, all I'm going to do is post content that shows you that I'm the guy. I'm going to show you fresh lawns. I'm going to show you how to seed your grass to make it grow in the summer. I'm going to do all that stuff. And then when you need some help in the lawn care industry, you're going to DM me. You're going to call me. You're going to go to my website. And that's how we can leverage social media for business the best.
Okay. Yeah. I love all of that. But what happens if they post a reel, they post a photo, and it doesn't go as planned? They get no likes or no one's commenting, and it's kind of embarrassing. Yep. Do they delete it?
Perfect. Yeah. And this is a soul crushing feeling, right? When you've worked real hard on something and you put it out there and it does nothing. So first, if your video gets zero views, that's an anomaly. Something's wrong. There's no way you can get zero views. So I would delete it and repost it, right? It's really a matter of self-reflection, right? Like when you look at the content, you have to say, like, what's in it for them? Now, if the content is good and it doesn't do anything, I'm not a big fan of deleting posts, because I have posts that have gone to 2 million views 2 weeks after I've posted them. So there is a grace period of when content can pick up. But if you feel like that content didn't do what it should, the first thing you can do is simply delete it and repost it on another day. Or you can really self-reflect and go, okay, did I use a hook? Did I really give any valuable information here? Maybe the content just wasn't any good. And that's a part of growing as a content creator. I like to leave all my posts up. I like to leave the stinkers up, because I want to see my growth. I want to look back in 2 years and go, wow, I was only getting 10 views and now I'm getting 10,000 views. That's amazing. And I can actually see that for myself, and my followers can too. They can grow with me, right? We all want to know the band or the artist that's coming up before they're huge. I knew that guy when he was just playing in a bar down the street, right? So let your audience be a part of your growth. Now, as far as comments go and likes go, consumption habits have changed on social media. Most of it is now just flicking your thumb. And there's a good chance that somebody has watched your video and really liked your video, but they do nothing. They just flip to the next video. So if you want more likes or comments, you need to encourage people to do that. You need to give them an opportunity to do that. So if you want more comments, you tell them something and say, what do you think? I want to know. Drop a comment below. We need to lead the witness. If you want more follows, at the end of your video, you need to say, follow for more tips, right? We need to let people know what we want them to do, or else they'll do nothing. They'll just flip to the next video. And that's just basically consumption habits. It's not anything to do with you. People are just flipping through trying to get their next dopamine hit. Yeah. And if you don't say, hey, I need you to follow if you want more videos like this, they might not follow. Like when you first tried to learn how to ride a bike, you didn't just get on the bike and just take off. You fell down, you know, you scraped your knee, but you just kept trying. It's that same thing of, you know, the creator journey for a business or a person, there are growing pains, right? And you're going to get better. If you just make each video 1% better, by the end of a month, your content's going to be crazy better, right? So it's just a matter of, like, you know, I like to think of it like this. No one dies if my social media post doesn't do well, right? Yes, if you're a business, you want to make more sales. But in reality, the worst possible thing that can happen is no one sees it, right? So with that freedom, I can pretty much just keep shooting my shot and keep shooting my shot until, and this is important, what we're talking about right now is refinement, right? So I post something, it doesn't do very well. I look at it and say, why didn't it do very well? Or I post something and it does well, And I go, okay, people are interested in this. I should probably do it again. That's the process of kind of reflecting, just like you would on an ad set, right? Let's say you run a Facebook ad and you get a 5 ROAS. You're like, yes, we're in business. Throw more money on that. And then you do another ad and it does terrible, right? You'd probably reflect to try to figure out what happened. Totally. It's the same thing with social media. You're basically making ads for your business through value-based content.
Okay. And I'm sure my next two questions, you're going to be like, oh my God, I get this all the time, but you're going to have to repeat it. How long should our reels be? How often are we posting these reels?
Awesome. Great questions. All right. So short form content, specifically reels, historically do best between 15 and 30 seconds. That's attention spans. And unfortunately, attention spans have shortened. Recently read that we have shorter attention spans than goldfish now because we're just fed so much stuff to look at. So a good rule of thumb is 15 to 30 seconds. It's concise enough to give someone some value, but not too long to where they're like, I'm not going to see the end. So that's a good rule of thumb. Now, I make content that's a little longer because I want to put as much value in as possible. So I'm willing to forego some views to give as much value as possible. And I think that's why my account has been successful. But you have to make the content that, you know, I would never say like try to make a 30-second reel. What I would say is try to make a big topic small. Meaning if somebody, you know, if you have a business around, let's say it's barbershops, right? I would try to make content like how to turn any walk-in into a full-time client, right? That's what people want, right? That's what barbershops want.
Yeah.
And that's if I'm speaking to barbershops, right? And then I would give them a simple, like kind of 1, 2, 3, you know, ABC, how to do that, right? I can't give them too much information. So I'd give them a great hook, like how to turn any walk-in into a full-time client. You're going to do this, then you're going to do this, then you're going to do this, and make sure you follow for more tips, right? What, however long that is, if it's 15 seconds or 30 seconds, it's going to be what it's going to be, okay? Mm-hmm. So, but you want to remember that short form content is bite size. We're spoon feeding people education or entertainment. So we can't go on and on and on and on and on about topics. We need to be pretty concise. Now, as far as consistency goes, I know a lot of gurus are going to tell you to post 3 times a day and do all this stuff. Consistency to me is whatever you can keep up with long term. Okay. So if you can post 3 times a week and you can do that consistently, then that's how many times you post. And if you can do 7 posts a day consistently, that's what you post. But what we want to avoid is that the content creation, first of all, takes away from your business activities. But second of all, gets you to a point where you hate doing it and you eventually quit. You eventually burn out. Okay. So consistency is simply whatever you can do long term, whatever that output is. So right now I post between 5 and 6 a week because I can consistently keep up with that. But I know creators that post 3 times a week or 2 times a week because that's what they can manage. So it's going to be subjective to your business, to your team, to your output. But one thing I do want to mention is you don't have to create like feature film content. You have a phone that has more computing power on it than the Apollo 11 space mission, right? You have a camera. You don't need to buy a fancy camera. All you need to do is think about what you're going to say before you press record. This is very important. I see a lot of content where the person, you can tell they're angry because they've recorded this video 7 times to try to get it all in one fell swoop, right? Mm-hmm. You can record your content in single lines and edit it together so it looks fluid. You can record stuff anywhere, in the car, in your office. You talking to the camera is your biggest asset, right? Because you're creating that connection and people don't care. Like if you look at TikTok, TikTok has some of the rawest content out there. It's some of it looks horrible and does millions and millions of views because people don't care about production. They care about education and they care about entertainment. They just want to get a nugget of information or to laugh. And that's all it really comes down to. You want to think about your environment. Like if you are going to create in a space, you want to make sure that the background has some element of like a room, but isn't too busy that distracts from you, right? Like I am the main thing in this video and I want your attention on me. Yes, I want you to know that I am not just in a white square box. Like I do have an office. If you are new to shooting video content, one of the easiest things that you can do is just simply face an open window. That's going to cast a lot of light on you. When you're shooting video with light, you want the light to be on you, not behind you, because then you get all washed out. But for years, I would just stand by a window and hold my phone and I would get that natural light. And, you know, most people are so busy thinking about themselves, they're not really thinking about what's behind you. But, you know, as a business, you know, you probably have an office. You probably have maybe a retail brick and mortar location. And so there's probably a really good spot for you to make videos that kind of features the background or shows that you're in business. And that would be my recommendation is, you know, don't shoot it in the alley with the dumpster. You know, if you're in business, like shoot it in your nice, bright lit office with some people, you know, maybe working in the background or something.
Totally.
Did you miss Iconic 22? Feeling some FOMO? Don't worry. Catch up on all the amazing and inspiring talks from speakers like Venus Williams, Tabitha Coffee, and more with Iconic On Demand. Head over to iconic.vegaro.com to start watching. Then get pumped to join us at next year's Iconic Conference.
But you did a case study, was it 4 weeks? And you gained over 1 million views and over 100,000 followers. And you know, the numbers are give or take. I feel like they might've been more.
So that was actually the result of going through the process that we do at Reels Millionaire. So the research phase, so I was researching a bunch of content that really worked and I was then testing that content. And in the testing phase, I have my lab coat on because I'm a scientist, I cannot fail. So all I'm doing is testing to see what my audience resonates with the most. Now, once I go through a period of testing, say, you know, at this point, I've been testing for weeks, say 8 weeks, there became clear outliers of the topics people liked and the hooks, the things I was saying in the beginning. So then what I did was I said, okay, these two video formats are working the best. I'm only going to put out those video formats. And what happened was one of those videos went viral and the hook to that video was, here's a business idea, do something with it, right? That's the first thing I said in the video. So there's a little bit of like antagonism. There's a little bit of FOMO. What's the business idea? And so once that took off, what I did was I went all in. And that's all I did for the next 6 weeks. Here's a business idea, do something with it. That got their attention. And then I would give them a business idea. The business ideas were all different. That's where I got to be creative. But I figured out the formula of how to grab their attention and the topic that they wanted to hear about. And the key there was, is that virality comes from predictability, not creativity. And what happened from that point was I went from 9,000 to over 100,000 followers in 6 weeks. I got over 6.5 million views because I researched, refined, and then I went all in. So if you think that you have to sit down every day and create the next thing or come up with the next format, I wanna promise you that that is not true. You do have to go through that scientist phase of, you know, things might not work, things will work, and you have to look back and analyze that. But once something starts working, do it again, and then do it again, and then do it again. So if you're a business and you post some content and it gets 500 views, and you post another format that gets 10,000 views, it's not an accident, okay? Virality is not decided by an algorithm. It's decided by people watching that content. If you get a video that gets 10,000 views, you have to do the same thing tomorrow because you're going to think you're repeating yourself, but there's new people seeing that content. So once something starts working, do it again and do it again and do it again and do it again until it stops working. And then you go back to the beginning and you start researching and testing and do the same thing. That is the key. That is what people want. People want to tune into Discovery Channel and know what's there, right? That example of, I want to just know that there's documentaries about, I don't know, some, you know, building. That's what I want to watch. And so I know that if I go there, it's going to be there. The same thing happens with your content. People want to come back and spend their valuable time with you, and they want to know what they're going to get. And that is the entire key to doing it. Now, the in-betweens are a little murky. That's why we've created the Reels Millionaire program where we actually coach you and tell you what to do next, because most people just throw you behind a paywall and they say, thanks for your money, and you never talk to them. So there is a period in there where you're going to go, this isn't working. I don't know what to do next, right? That's why we created a product where we can help you through that, because it is a process. But at the end of that process, you're going to know exactly what your audience wants to hear about. You're going to know exactly how to present it. And what we teach in Reels Millionaire is actually going to level up your communication. And this is going to spill over into your emails. This is going to spill over into your sales calls. This is going to spill over into the way you communicate with people. I can pretty much sell anything to anybody based on what I know about hooks, formats, and concise communication. I can sell anything that you give me because I know I can figure out a way to spin it to the result someone wants, to make them know that I'm the person to give it to them and how I'm going to fulfill that. And so it's, you know, most people, I think most businesses would say, oh, social media is like, it's kind of a waste of time. It's not really for us. It's more for influencers and all this stuff. And I would completely disagree. I would say it is a way of learning how to communicate on a higher level with millions of people and to get your message. I'm sure there's businesses listening right now that have a huge mission statement where they're trying to change the world. Well, you can't change the world unless you can get in front of the world. And so that's the goal here is when I share this information, when I do podcasts with amazing people like you, I want people to hear this because the opportunity is right now. It's not in 10 years. It's right now to turn that camera on and tell people. I like to imagine that I just work for free. I'm coaching everyone for free. And most coaches or businesses would go, well, what are they going to buy from me then? And yet I still sell out all my products because people don't want to do it alone. You know, they want to be inspired and they want you to help them. Mm-hmm. So you're not going to lose business by giving away all the information.
And you're also not going to lose business by repeating yourself.
The average sales process, people say no 7 times before they say yes. It takes 7 no's to get to the 8th yes. Okay. The same thing's going to be with your content. You might have to say the same thing over and over again, right? Think about McDonald's. How many more ways can they sell you a cheeseburger, right? You know, it's the same thing over and over again. And the reason you go to McDonald's is because you know exactly what you're going to get when you order that food. It's going to be that predictable, tasty burger that you wanted. It's not going to be a random burger shop that you have no idea what they're going to do with your cheeseburger, right? So there is a theme there for business, which is, you know, just continually giving that information and ensuring that you realize that with social media, you have a current follower base, right? Your community. Then you have new people that come in and you have people that fall off. So it's this big rotating circle of people and the new people haven't heard your old hits. Mm. So if you repeat them and it's good content, they're going to stay and they're going to bring in more people. And it's sort of this revolving door of eyeballs on your message.
You don't think that your old followers will get like annoyed or like, oh my God, do something else.
I don't, only because most people don't take action right away. And I've given away about 100 business ideas and I've only had about 5 people come back and say they actually did it. And I think that they need to hear it over and over again. Just like when you go to a gym and get a trainer and he's going to tell you, come on, get your knees up. You need to hear that, right? Like you need to hear it over and over and over again. And that's just part of the process of, you know, we show ads to the same people. We say the same things. We're just doing that on social media. And I'm not saying just say the exact same thing over and over again. Sure. You want to put a little spin to it, right? But the topics are going to remain the same. If you're a barbershop, right, you need customers, you need products, you need new styles, you need to inspire people to get their haircut, you need to make them feel good. There's not really much more to that. So you can just keep going through those and there's going to be an outlier. You know, there's going to be something that you can boost up for a while. And you don't have to do this forever, right? If you're trying to grow an account, you're going to end up going all in on one thing. Mm. And then you can kind of broaden out again and then dial it back in. It's a living, breathing thing. And one of the biggest things people come to me is like, well, I did this 6 months ago and it doesn't work anymore. Yes, it doesn't work anymore. This thing keeps evolving. The way people consume keep evolving. The way people buy things keep evolving, right? You have to kind of continually move with it or else you're just swimming upstream and you're just going to get angry. And you're going to hate social media.
Yeah. But what about these businesses or even people who only post photos? Will they not get the same result?
So right now, specifically on Instagram and TikTok is only video, video is being prioritized to push out to people. So I still post static images and I do carousels, which are a couple images together. And I think the way that you can navigate that is by, if you post a single image, make it say something that moves someone, right? Like motivational. If you're going to post multiple images, make it like a little storybook. You know, I read these little books to my kids and they're, you know, 10 sentences, right? Like, and it's a whole book. And so if you could take a concept and explain it to somebody, right? Like even testimonials, right? Like here's what our clients have to say about our service. And then you just show like 5 or 6 testimonials. That's better content than just a picture of an award, right? You want to think about making your social media content like a library of value, a library about you. Remember, I said it's your station, right? So you can do well with images. One thing I would say is that you could leverage captions, right? So if you have a single image, the best way to keep people on that content is to write a really relevant and thoughtful caption that they can read through after they've seen your image. But again, you know, Instagram started off, I remember when Instagram came out, I got an account, there was like 3 filters on it, and everybody saw your posts, right? Mm-hmm. And it's changed. Social media used to be what I'm doing, and now social media is what can I do for you? And so And I can honestly say I was against video for a long time. I'm a podcaster at heart, got a face for radio. I fought being on video, and now it's one of my absolute favorite things. I think of it as a huge opportunity. And so there may be some growing pains with that. You might have to just get comfortable, you know, being on camera. You might have to look at your social media strategy. But if you're going to only use images, that's cool. Just make sure that there's some type of value in them that people can come back to and eventually want to work with you.
Okay, so there is hope there.
Yeah, I mean, it all boils down to this. Your content should get people one step closer to the outcome they want. So if you are a landscaping business, right, you need to encourage people that they shouldn't be cutting their own grass. They could be doing other things with their time, like spending time with their family. Or, you know, maybe that their equipment is old and isn't doing as good of a job to make their yard the best yard in the neighborhood, right? There's lots of different things that you could do with that content, but it's all about the outcome. And the outcome is that if I hire you to cut my grass looks better than everybody else's. I save time. It's not that expensive. And it gets done quickly, regularly, right? Like there's just a few things in there. And when you pull those themes out, that's the themes of your content, right? Like perfect example would be it's Sunday again and you'd rather watch football than cut your grass. And that's why we're in your neighborhood cutting your grass, right? Like it's little things like that. When you can expose people's problems and then solve them immediately, you become the winner in social media.
You recently did a reel that I shared literally with everyone on social media. It was a little bit different than what you normally did. And I sent it to all my girlfriends, and I'm just going to recap what you did in this reel that others should be building their empire. So many of us build other people's empires, or they're too afraid to go off and do their own thing. So for the people who are listening to this that are still doing the 9-to-5, that haven't gone out and become their own entrepreneur, or like are on the fence, what can you say to them?
So I as somebody who's been gainfully employed and worked in corporations, you know, I quickly realized that company culture is just simply code for, you know, we're going to give you stuff like pizza parties to keep you happy, right? And you're expected to over deliver, and you're expected to meet all these sales quotas, and you're expected to, you know, balance all this out. And at the end of it, you know, when you want to raise, you know, we'll put your review on the calendar. We'll give you this piece of glass award. It's really, you are a cog in a machine. And, you know, if you work for a big corporation, all it takes is one restructuring for them to make you obsolete. And if you're working for a small business, it's probably going to be something where you're building the president of that company's bank account, right? And that's okay, right? If you're okay with going in and dealing with the BS and cashing the checks and getting out, that's fine. But chances are there's something inside of you that says there's more to this for my life, right? There's more that I can give than just to do this. And why not do your own thing? Why not build your own empire? And every day you stay there, it's just getting more comfortable, and it's going to make you not want to leave. But if there's something inside of you, and I did this exercise where I did a meditation, this is going to sound weird, but I pictured myself on my deathbed. I was all tubed up. I was skinny. I was dying. And I was thinking about, what am I going to regret the most? And it wasn't spending time with my family. It wasn't, you know, traveling. It was that I never really went for it to see if I could do it, right? I could always go get another job, but when would I have another chance to really go for it and use all the energy I'm using at my 9-to-5 for my own thing, right? What is possible? And in that moment, I decided I have to know, or else I will be on that deathbed one day wondering, what if, right? Because I have big goals. I have a big mission. I want to impact millions of people. And I'm not going to do it sitting at a desk. I'm not going to do it selling some cog to some guy. I'm going to have to do it myself. And so this is an internal decision. You could say, hey, I'm going to coast and I'm going to accept what they give me, and that's cool. Or I have a chance to start building on the side something that I'm passionate about. And if I decide that I want to build it up big enough to make a decision to jump to that, that I'm going to do that. And in today's economy, there's jobs everywhere. Everyone who tells me they can't get a job, I'm like, I see now hiring signs everywhere. So you can either take a job or you can make a job, but that's up to you. And you're the one that's going to have to lay in that bed at the end of your life and say, I wish I would have done X. Is it going to be sharing your passion, sharing your product, sharing your knowledge? Then maybe it's time to think about actually making it happen.
When you left your 9-to-5 and you started this thing, I'm sure there was failures along the way. You didn't instantly, you know, decide you want to do this. How did you not give up? Did you start this before you quit your 9-to-5?
Yes. I'm curious. So oh, you did. I This was something that really, and thank you for asking that question. I always had a side business. And when people would, I'd go to a dinner party and they'd say, so what do you do? I'd say, well, I'm in sales, but I do this other thing. And my wife would always tell me, you light up like a light bulb when you talk about your thing. And I am not a big fan of do not quit your job today without a plan. Okay. Do not take a leap of faith. It is not a good idea, right? What you want to be doing is spending as much of your free time as you can focused on your thing. So I would spend nights and weekends when I could working on my business. And I built it up to a point where I could decide whether I wanted to work for my boss anymore. Now, at one point I was making a ton of money because I had my job and I had my side thing and everything was great, but you can only do that for so long. So I decided, you know what? I'm going to run the numbers. I might have to take a step back, right? I might have to remove some of the niceties like getting coffee at Starbucks every day or, you know, just a few things that don't really affect you that much. But yeah. I take a step back from my output and I'm going to go for this thing. And the funny thing was, is when I turned in my notice at my job that loved me, that gave me awards, that couldn't say enough nice things about me, I was completely turned on. No one was happy for me. They didn't. Yeah. I wrote a nice email to the people I worked for. They didn't even reply to it because they didn't care. As long as I was doing their biddings, they were happy with me. But the second that I was going to do my own thing, it turned into a whole nother thing. And it's very telling of that sort of, you know, entity of, you know, they weren't happy for me and they didn't give me, they didn't share the wealth with me. So I made the right decision. And now I'm making five times as much as I would have at my job. I get to wake up every day excited about what I'm going to do. I get to do things like this, hang out with you, and my life is so much better. And I would take that over millions of dollars. If my life stayed the same, I'm not a millionaire. I don't fly around in private jets. But I have everything I could ever want. I have a healthy family, got a nice car I drive around, I get this office, and I get to do the thing that I care about the most. And every day when I lay my head down at night, there's not a thought in the world other than I can't wait to wake up tomorrow and do it again. But you mentioned failures, and this is very important. Entrepreneurship is painted as being very sexy. And when you do leave your job, you do need to remember that there's one thing that you're going to be responsible for, everything. So every time there's a problem, if you're a solopreneur, it's going to be your problem. And listen, problems are part of the game. One of the skills I've adapted to is really just like I get a problem every day. I just need to solve it. I either delegate it or I solve it myself and I move on. There will be problems. There will be failures, right? But you're a scientist and you can't fail because you're just testing things until you get that result, right? So I go in every day and say, yeah, there's going to be three problems today and I'm going to have to extinguish all of them myself. That's okay because I'm the boss. And if I want to go take a nap after that, I can do that, right? So there's benefits. And, you know, I truly think that unless you're harming people or creating some type of a hateful environment, that you really can't fail. If an email doesn't go out or has the wrong link, okay, you send another one, right? If a shipment's late, you apologize to the customer. In reality, most of these failures aren't really failures. They're just bumps in the road. If you don't have problems in your business or failures, then you're not trying enough things. Mm. You know, if you're not messing up, like I think of all of my failures as the greatest accomplishments ever because I know now not what to do, right? Like I know right. I'll never do that again. Right. Oh, that was a big mistake. I better have somebody proofread that before I fire it off to 6,000 people. You know, yeah. Those are the kind of things that you learn and that's life, right? Like just like riding the bike. You start riding, you fall down. You start riding, you fall down. You start to kind of get your bearings and you don't fall down as much, right? Same thing with business. When you leave your job, you leave the comfort zone and you take on a new zone. And that is, you know, it's all about looking at it like, listen, I can either hate this and make this a problem or I can figure it out and have a new skill set. And that's the whole game of life. Not only business, relationships, money, everything you do is just about picking yourself back up, picking yourself back up. It's not about falling down. It's just about getting back up. I would love to thank you and ask your audience to do me that favor of leaving a review, right? It's free and you can let Taylor know that you've made it. If this episode did something for you or any other episode, just go leave a review. You have no idea how happy it will make her to know that you're out there getting value from this podcast. And then you can actually go to the link in my bio has a little quick 8-minute video of some of the things we discussed today about getting a million views. And if you're interested in getting some help, I'd love to help you. But if you watch that video, you'll get a lot of value on what you should do next in order to put your business out in front of millions of eyeballs.
And I'm so glad you said that, because I did want to mention also that you have a step-to-step guide. It's called the 10,000 Followers Blueprint.
Yes.
So where can our listeners find this?
If you just send me a DM that says PM22, so it was for podcast movement. Yes. So P as in Paul, M as in Mary, 22, you'll automatically get my 10,000 follower blueprint book. Now, this is not a novel. It's not a boring read. It is a fast action workbook. It's a lot of fun, where I'm going to break down all the concepts that you need. There's way more to growing a following than just posting reels. Mm-hmm. There's engagement, there's captions, there's all kinds of things. And we break these down so you can quickly read it and apply it, okay? And it's so much fun. We usually sell it for $37, but your audience needs this as much as anyone does, and I'd love for you to have it for free. So just go to Instagram, go to Travis Brown. You can follow if you want, or you can just send me a DM that says PM22, and it'll automatically get delivered to you.
Awesome. Well, thank you, Travis, for that. I don't know why anyone wouldn't do that. Before we go, we're going to play a quick game.
Great.
It's called Taylor's Would You Rather, and I play this at every podcast. There's two options, but you only get 3 seconds to answer them.
Okay.
Okay, here we go. Would you rather have more followers on Instagram or more followers on TikTok?
Instagram.
Would you rather be tagged in an unflattering photo or on accident like someone's photo from a year ago?
Tagged in an unflattering photo.
Would you rather have your parents go through your phone or your children go through your phone?
My phone's pretty safe, so I'd let my children go through it.
Would you rather give up LinkedIn or would you rather give up Facebook?
I'd rather give up both.
See, okay.
I guess I'll say Facebook just to have an answer.
Okay. Would you rather try a cooking tutorial from YouTube or a dancing trend on TikTok?
Cooking tutorial.
Would you rather lose internet for 1 week or be turned into an embarrassing meme?
I'd rather be an embarrassing meme. I need the internet.
Okay, two more. Would you rather forget your logins every week or be blocked by your favorite celebrity?
Oh, I feel like I already forget my logins. I'm going to go blocked.
Blocked.
Because, you know, consuming too much content is not good. So...
Okay, last one. Would you rather lose $100,000 or 10 million followers?
I'm going to say 10 million followers, because I know based on my skill set I could do it again. So I would just rebuild from the ground up.
You know what? And I was going to say that if you chose the other one. I'm like, well, why? You could just redo it again with your amazing blueprint. Well, Travis, thank you so much for being a part of the episode today. I really appreciate it. And I really feel like the listeners will gain so much insight from you.
I'm honored. Thank you so much, Taylor, for what you do with this podcast. I'm so honored to have met you in Dallas. And I hope to see you again in real life.
I hope so, too. I can't wait.
Wonderful. Thank you so much.
Bye, Travis. Have a great day. Our goal is to always give you the content you didn't know you needed to know, and to make sure you're always on point. I'm Taylor Burke. Thank you for listening.